America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
In fact, let's go to Sean Cunningham again, who just has the best video and sound. Malik Monk today, following practice, teams obviously headed to L.A. Ahead of tomorrow night's game. Here's Malik Monk following practice. Anyone want Malik Monk cusses?
Nah, I think we're good today.
It's 3 minutes.
I don't think so.
3 minutes. Clean?
I think so, yeah.
All right, Malik Monk today at practice.
Great, how are you? What did you just make of last night overall, and maybe the good and the bad?
I wouldn't say it's no bad because it was our first game, and they had a game under their belt. So I feel like everything was good, how well we played together, being our first game out there. I think we gave up two mistakes on our end to let them back in the game. So it was just all on us. Some stuff we haven't went through because we haven't played a game yet. So
did that feel about as good for you individually as you had felt really since tipping off things, preseason schedule as well?
Yeah, it felt good.
Was there any added incentive going up against Minnesota and obviously with Josh Reed, who got the award that you didn't?
Nah. No, I don't think about it. I don't care about that award no more, man. I tried last year. Should have got it, so just playing basketball this year.
Yeah. What impressed you most?
Our togetherness. Like I said, we ain't played a game together once, and to have the West, one of the best teams in the West, and we had them down on the ropes the whole game, and we just let up. So, yeah, that was surprising.
What do you what'd you see during kind of that let up, like stands out to me, sort of end of the third there?
Yeah, it wasn't even the end of it. It was the beginning of the third. We just gave up too many open threes to the hot guys. Like Mike Conley, we gave him two corner threes. He a 40% shooter, so he gonna knock those down. We gave Ant some rhythm threes that he normally makes, and he made them. So it's just stuff we can cut down.
Only 29 threes last night. Do you feel like you guys could have created more there?
Yeah, I should have shot a few more. It's just a few more I should have shot. That would have helped us out. But like I said, it's our first game, so we'd be all right.
Yeah, how much of it is just like a feeling out process, like getting integrated with DeMar and then Kevin back in the fold? Like how much?
And Trey back too. We haven't had them all training camp. So like I said, we're just getting back in rhythm. It was great. I'm happy where we at right now, especially not having a game under our belt. So, yeah, we'll be all right tomorrow.
What do you see in the Lakers right now?
I don't know. I watch Sacramento.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, obviously, you had played down there before. I mean, does what LeBron and AD, what they do, has it changed at all from when you were there?
They got J.J. Redick as a coach.
Yeah.
So, obviously.
For sure.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess it's to their overall importance and just their...
Oh, yeah, no, they haven't changed. They bring everything every night to the game, practice too, whether they doing something or not, they always talking, throwing their ideas around, throwing their thoughts around, and just helping the team out. So yeah, they haven't changed at all.
One more here.
What stood out to you about Keegan's performance last night?
Nothing.
You like his look he had?
Well, look, the three? Oh yeah, look, I thought it was going in.
Yeah,
I'll have Keegan shooting that every time if we could.
No love for the rebounding. Okay.
Yeah, nah, that's what he's supposed to do. He did what he's supposed to do.
I like that. They funny with man. They funny with Keegan. He didn't even flinch. He was like nothing.
That's funny.
I will say this. You know, one game or not, I do kind of take a lot of cues from Malik. I think it was the 0-5, 0-4 start. I can't really remember, but I remember Malik being like, "No, we're fine. Mm-hmm. Like, it's good. Like, we're fine. We're doing a lot of, we're doing the right things. We've got to close. We've got to do this. We got to do that." I was okay. He said, "We're fine. We're fine," and he was right. I'm watching him there, like, nah, there are things we didn't do. He talked about taking more three. He was one of two.
Yeah.
Malik being one of two from three in a game is crazy.
Yeah.
Hell, Malik being one of two in a quarter is semi-crazy. But one of two in a game is not really Malik's style. So I don't want to be too dismissive of people's concerns about the game last night. But again, I'd like to take my cues from Malik Monk.
Yeah, man, and Malik, and I really do feel like DeMar had that same type of mindset too. Of just, you know, it was a good performance. We've got a lot that we can get better at, and we will get better at. Mm-hmm. That's the way I took how they approached these questions and the press conferences. I think that one of the things that I do want to see get a little better. And we had Donald come in talking about 20 made threes, and we kind of dismissed it. And once again, this is how the game is played at this point in the evolution of basketball. Teams are going to make 20 threes.
Yeah.
But I mentioned Will Z sent me the numbers that I'm always looking for. And he did send me the, you know, tight, wide open, open and wide open shots,
mm-hmm.
3-point shots. And I'm looking at this one. Normally I look at it, the Kings. I'm looking at it from the Timberwolves. Timberwolves had 24 wide open looks last night. And that is too much. They went 9 of 24. They shot 37% from that. They had 19 open looks. So of their 50, only 7 were tightly contested. And That's one thing I think they need to kind of figure out. And I don't know what it is. Like, I'd like to ask people, because they talk about this all the time, Kings need to be better at defending the three. So I don't think it's just a one-person thing. I don't think it's an effort thing. I'm starting to think, because I was watching the game, you know, while we were there last night, I wonder if it's a situation where, because they don't have what they feel is enough rim protection, they pack it in. They are overly aware of protecting the rim, which leads to swinging the ball, skipping the ball, getting good looks. 24 wide open looks is a lot.
Mm-hmm.
That's a lot. And 19 open looks.
Do we know how many of the 24 they made?
9 of 24.
They were 9 of 24 on the wide open.
They were 8 of 19.
And I was going to say they hit 20. Yeah. So, man, yeah, they made you pay for it.
Yeah, and that's something that I'm going to be looking at. I don't know how much what it was last year, but I'm going to be looking at what they do as far as defending the three in that respect. And I don't think that's a person. I don't think that's, oh, Keon needs to be out there or they need to try harder. I do think some of that is on the scheme, you know, and how they fundamentally – look at defending teams. Like they said, we're going to make sure we don't get beat up in the paint. And we may give up some open looks because of that. We may give up threes because of that. And if they keep hitting at that clip, they might have to rethink that.
Is the bigger concern with that particular defensive point the fact that this is what we were talking about last year? Like, and we're talking 9-24 on wide open. Again, we could be as dismissive of the preseason as we want, and I don't have a single issue with that. Mm-hmm. But it was there during the preseason too, and it was here in the first game.
Yeah, I agree. It is. It is something that that
it's a greater concern, and I get Malik, and I ride with Malik. It's one game. Like it was our first game. They have one under their belt. There are things we got to do better, things we got to fix. I got all of that. This particular subject matter, this is not one game, though.
Mm-hmm.
This was an openly discussed problem, I guess, mm-hmm. from your head coach, from De'Aaron, from a lot of people associated with the team.
Yeah, and I Daryl in the chat says, I think it's, in the Matthews Matthews Chatty House said, I think it's primarily personnel Didn't we see the same thing last year and throughout the preseason? Yeah, but if you watch these games, if you watch them, when you say personnel, I don't think they're not trying to defend the three. I don't think they're lazy to defending the three. I think there's a lot of ground to cover a lot of times. And when I think of that, I think...
Well, I don't want to speak for Daryl, but maybe he's not talking about being lazy. Maybe he's talking about the size issue, I guess, that he thinks the Kings have. Or that people think the Kings have. I'm not speaking for Daryl.
Yeah, maybe, but I also don't think, could be wrong, I don't think they're getting wide open looks because the Kings are small. You know what I mean? Like, maybe it'd be different if you have, as opposed to De'Aaron at 6'3".
Well, what did everyone say that they wanted? They want a big athletic wing who can defend.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Well, that's not exactly what DeMar is, mm-hmm. but I think that's part of the reason why, no? Or wouldn't it be part of the reason why? Having another Keegan... Mm-hmm. Wouldn't that help?
Yeah, it would help. It would help, but the shots, that doesn't help the wide open shots.
Sure.
That's what the wide
and
open
I
shots.
Think I think Malik didn't use the terminology you're using, but he talked about Ant-Man and how he walked into three. Those are going to be wide open,
right?
Because he's probably in transition, or they're probably not expecting him to shoot at that point, and he's just sitting there,
right? One of the things I see a lot with the Kings in this year and last year is when I see a lot of these wide open shots come in the corner a lot, and they do a thing where the ball's on one side of the floor, they get it to the guy in the middle, and then he's got a choice to kick to either shoot it. He's like around the paint. Say it's Rudy Gobert. He can either shoot it 7 feet away, or he's got a guy at the wing or a guy in the corner. And there's one guy that has a responsibility of guarding the guy on the wing and the guy in the corner. And a lot of that's a lot to ask. They whip that ball back over there to the corner a lot of the times. That's a wide open look. And I wonder if that happens because they're afraid of, like, giving up the points on the inside. Because, like, at least for me, traditionally, when you talk about basketball, you defend inside in, right? So we can't give up a layup. If we got to give up something, we're giving up the jump shot. But we can't just give up a layup. You don't defend. You don't have.
You're saying
a sense
inside
of,
out.
You don't. Inside out. You defend. Yeah. You protect inside,
and then out.
And
I got
leave
you.
Out. Okay. You don't usually go backwards, like protect outside and leave the basket wide open. That's just like kind of fundamentally what you think about basketball. And I wonder if they are so aware of protecting the basket because they don't have a traditional rim protector that it's leaving them really open to, you know, skips and swings and stuff like that for these guys to shoot wide open shots.
So my only, I don't know that this is pushback. The question I would ask about that is that seems completely counter to what Monty McNair is. Monty McNair is an analytics guy.
Mm-hmm.
Wouldn't his conversations with Mike be, look, the rim protector be damned, if we're giving up twos, just don't give up threes. And again, I'm not expecting you to answer. Mm-hmm. I'm just like, we might not know a lot about Monty McNair.
Mm-hmm.
He likes to draft older guys, and he's an analytics guy. Mm-hmm. Like, we know that. It seems two versus three, that's an analytics thing where a team that Monty McNair is the general manager of might not lean towards the two more than the three on the defensive end.
Mm-hmm.
Or maybe the defense is completely different than the offensive, you know, the way Monty may express what works on the offensive end versus the defensive end.
Yeah, and like you said, I don't know.
Again, not expecting someone to have an answer of this to this, just talking.
And it could be a catch 22 thing because the analytics will say, what does it say, like a you know, if you shoot 33% from three, that's – I don't know. They say stuff like, if you shoot 33% from three, that's better than shooting 66% from two.
Okay.
You know what I mean? Stuff like that, right?
Yeah.
But my
No one came here for math.
My thought would be sometimes, like, you want to make sure – like, the thing that can beat you is the three. You do not let them shoot the three. You shoot the two. But in certain situations, especially in the NBA, you let these guys get the ball 5 feet away from the basket. That's a 95% shot, as opposed to if we kick it out to a three and we try and chase out there, that could be a 47% shot, right? Because it's a jump shot, it's further away, as opposed to this 6'7 guy being 2 feet away from the basket. They're going to score, get fouled every single time. So you've got to protect that and make sure you're defending that and take your chances on getting out for the three. I don't know what the strategy is. I don't know what their thought process on it is, but the 24 wide open threes was a lot, and it seems to happen a lot. I'm not going to ask Will Z to look for this last year, but I wonder if this specific breakdown was something that happened a lot last year, and if that's the case, that's a fundamental problem with their approach to defense, I think.
You talking about the wide open versus? Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't. Will, when you get back, you're going to work. Someone send Will Z a note. He just finished a Disneyland trip and he's in San Diego. We'll send him a note. When you get back, you're working. Yeah, I think for me, the bigger kind of puzzling thing, and it's where we asked earlier, is this the new brand of Kings basketball with the addition of DeMar DeRozan? DeMar DeRozan was 0 of 2 from 3. I could see that stat line or a 1 of 3 or something like that. I could see that a lot this year. Mm-hmm. 1 of 2 from Malik? Doubt it. I doubt we see that again. Mm-hmm. 3 or 4 from Domas. That's I'm good with that. Keegan took 10. That's about what you'd expect, right? Like he was 5 of 10. 17 shots for Keegan. We probably haven't given that the attention it deserves.
He was balling.
Yeah, we asked for him to be.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their 6 pools on 3 different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
The aggressive, he had a double-double last night. Him and De'Aaron both had double-doubles. Keegan, that's weird. Keegan and De'Aaron had double-doubles. No one else did. Mainly the guy who had 60-some-odd double-doubles in a row last year. He had 24-8 and only 1 assist for Domas yesterday.
That was crazy. When Kyle said that, I was like, "That I didn't even recognize that." That's
1
crazy.
Assist for Domantas Sabonis yesterday. 11 for De'Aaron, but what's this tell you? 115, 2-point loss. We look at some of the barometers we've used all of these years together. 21 assists for Sacramento.
You like for them to get to 30.
30.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, it was at 21, but they were at the 115. They're in that range of points that we see them win games at, but 21 assists.
Does that change a little bit now? Because you've got to. you got more of an ISO guy on your roster now with DeMar DeRozan.
Like, might have to.
Yeah. And when I say, does it change?
Well, it might might not be a barometer I can use anymore.
Right. You might have to bring the barometer down because it's a different style of play that they're playing potentially now.
Eddie Gonzalez joins us next. We'll talk hoop with our man Eddie when D'Lo and Casey return here on Sacramento Sports Leader ESPN 1320. Talking about the game last night with our man Eddie Gonzalez there during the commercial break. We might as well just get right back into the conversation. We were talking about that last look that Keegan had. And Eddie, it felt like Keegan went from a great look at a three to win the game to a fairly tough look on a three to win the game the way Minnesota played that.
Yeah, you got to credit them, right? I think it was Ant and Nas, right? Mm-hmm. Who were like the double closeout, completely abandoned Domas. I think I watched it a few times to see if there was a chance to make that pass to Darren right away. And that's like some quarterback anticipate he'll be open on that and that type of stuff. And I'm looking and it's like, oh, I can see how he didn't see him that second he flashed open and all of that stuff. So it's easy to second guess that stuff. We're talking about 5 seconds and then 2 seconds to say, oh, Keegan Murray can catch that and make a touch pass to Domas. Domas sitting by himself under the basket, but 2 seconds is 2 seconds, man. So you got to kind of tip your hat off to the Wolves. You like the play design, and then you'll probably see that again for the end of the year and probably get a good shot, maybe even a make out of it. I can't believe he got as close as he got. So close games, man. Somebody has to lose a close game. Unfortunately, last night it was the Kings.
Yeah, man. That play specifically, a great play design, got a good look for Keegan. When he pump faked and had Nas in the air and did a little sidestep, I said, oh, he about to get a real good look off. And shout out to the awareness of Anthony Edwards. You know, I'm going to go leave where I'm at, leave the guy that I'm helping with. There's not enough time for another pass. I'm going to go out there and contest it and completely blew up the entire play. And that's a credit to him. That's a credit to that T-Wolves coaching staff. But that's not one you even necessarily like coach up. That is Ant being aware of the situation, being aware of what's going on, and using his instincts. And that was a good play by him, man. Good play.
Yeah, went in play by one of the best players in the world, and that's what you expect. I mean, he took over late. It's funny because he missed a tough shot. You know, made a couple tough ones too, and missed a tough shot, and thought the Kings had a chance. What'd you guys think of the 2-for-1 with De'Aaron? Like, what did you think about that situation? Because that was one where it was like, when he's dribbling up the court, I can see it spinning. I'm like, oh, he's gonna go for it, but it was so close to that little gap, and I guess in essence it worked because they did get another shot. But maybe you spend 10 more seconds, you actually get a better shot. You get a make, you find something better, you get to the line, and yeah, you give the Wolves a shot with 10 seconds to go, but you're also up. Like, what did you guys think about that? Because that was the one that kind of got me. And also, it was a loose ball. I got tipped. It was like, you know, you lose 3 seconds doing that, and all that stuff adds up. But I just remember the shot feeling really awkward.
I liked it. I liked the – you got a wide-open look. I was for the 2-for-1 situation. I know it was a little tight. I know it was a little tight for the 2-for-1, but –
Most teams don't run the clock all the way down to the end. You, like, if you doing that, you're almost ensuring yourself you're going to get another decent possession out of it.
Yeah. They had two timeouts at the time, so you
yeah, with the timeouts, I think it's different. And again, it worked. Mm-hmm. They had 2 seconds. They had an extra possession. It did what it was. I think he just, like, he teetered just on the line. And again, loose ball situation after made it worse. Like, obviously, you lose time in that But, I mean, that's a shot he takes and he makes all the time. You want him to take that in the ideal road. He makes it and you get a stop and the game's over.
I probably want him to attack the basket a little bit more. Even get to the line, you know what I mean? Like, see what happens there as opposed to the mid-range. But he got a good look. That's a shot he makes a lot of the time. So, and it was on. It just back rim. That's all.
Yeah. I mean, look, again, close game, tough game. You have explosive performances on the other side of the court, and that's probably where the real story
Julius
is.
Beat our ass, man. That was the problem.
Man. And he gave it to everybody. Like, it was – y'all know me. I love to come on here and be like, man, Domas needs to be better defensively. And he got his share. He got his share from Julius last night. But he gave that to everybody who got in front of him. He hit some threes. He handled the ball well. He bullied that whole team. And we talked about this – what was it, last week or a couple weeks back? But – there is a fit there for Julius Randle. And, like, don't forget how good a basketball player he is. And unfortunately, Kings found out last night the hard way.
They always But
I think a lot of teams are going to find out.
Julius. They always find out when the Kings play Julius. My goodness, he see that purple and black, and he turned into, like I said, prime Charles Barkley out here. It's crazy.
Yeah, it was that's an interesting team to watch. I mean, you always had the Rudy Gobert conundrum. I think they also had to deal with the Mike Conley situation where up until now it's like, hey, you have an adult in the room to run that point. But as we saw in that fourth quarter, you got an adult in the room. We got number five as well. So I'd be very curious to see how they handle that going down the stretch of the season. They'll take their time. Obviously, they just made a deep run. They know these are our guys. That's what we're rolling with. But I don't know if there's a world where he comes off the bench where Anthony Edwards is handing him the ball full time. If Dante DiVincenzo supplants him. He had his moments yesterday. He had you know, it's a guy like Dante. It's cool he has his moments, but it doesn't mean he can guard De'Aaron Fox or DeMar DeRozan with all the chips on the board. So he also got some buckets dropped on his head too. So it's gonna be interesting watching that team. It's gonna be very interesting.
I'm confident that was your second time watching Minnesota. What did you think of the Lakers and how that first matchup went? Is that legit? Is that the Los Angeles Lakers, or did they just have a nice little outing?
I thought it was interesting that going back to Gobert, a lot of people were talking about, oh, AD lit him up, but like the numbers don't back that at all. Neither did my eyes. He got a lot of money outside of Rudy. They got a lot of offense rebounds outside of Rudy having to contest shots because guys are giving up runs to the rim and stuff like that. The Lakers, I mean, they're playing last year. I feel like they look like a play-in this year. They didn't really patch so many of their holes up so much as saying, well, we got Bron and AD. You know, we'll be fine. I think for the Lakers fans and then the Lakers haters, I think Rui Hachimura is probably the guy you want to watch all year long, because if he's going to be as aggressive and attacking and his jumper is going to be as alive as it was in that first game, yeah, there's something there. If he's going to be Rui we've watched for some years and he's going to be inconsistent, then that obviously changes that as well. I think the backup center situation for them is going to be a thing too. Like Jackson Hayes looked fine that night, but I don't think he's the guy you're going to go down with the ship either. I had a tweet about LeBron. I was like, well, I can't believe we're on 22 years of him being a above average basketball player, NBA player. People were like, what? Why would you say above average? He had 16 on 16 shots. Like, he had some rough moments. Anthony Edwards was attacking him in the isolation and was seeking him out. I love LeBron. I think LeBron's the GOAT, but, you know, he is about to be 40 years old. He's been playing for 22 years. I don't know how long the expectation could be 25, 7, and 7 forever. And he had moments, a great crossover, nice layup. He had a travel. It was a nice layup. He obviously got to play with his son. A lot of great moments, but everything rests on how great LeBron can and can't be. And I don't feel like you can hold it against him at this point if he's just a 20-point guy, right?
Right.
Were you one of the people – sorry, Casey. Yeah. Were you one of the people who hated that moment? I think one of your homegirls hated it.
Man.
Shout out to my old colleague, Michelle Beadle. I think sometimes he's just not the right messenger for your message. I don't think it's out of bounds to call it contrived or whatever, like whatever word you want to use. But even in the most pessimist way looking at it, it was still cool to see. Like, it was still cool to look on the court and be like, that's really LeBron James Jr. Like, what am I looking at right now?
That's crazy, yeah.
I think, and it's a longer convo, I think, you know, for that group, for that family, for that agency, for all of the powers that be that are a part of this, there's a world where they let it play out and maybe Bronny goes to a mid-major and he plays his way into being a real prospect. Hey, look at Oasis.
I think sorry for the radio audience. We had a little run in to see Eddie there.
I think there's a world where Bronny plays himself into being a real prospect, and maybe that takes a year, maybe that takes 2 years, and the moment is quote unquote better and more earned or whatever you would say. But I still thought it was great. I still think it's incredible that they could put that together. I hope he develops into a very good NBA player or whatever his future is. But a little bit of skepticism to say, hey, they manufactured a little bit of this moment. I don't think that's unfair. Like, mm-hmm. I think it's pretty clear they did that, but it's still great that he was even close enough to being as an NBA worthy talent that they could pull that off.
And that's the whole thing, man. Like, number one, sometimes like it doesn't have to be so serious where it causes an outrage. Like it is a great moment, a moment that we've only seen one other time in one of the four major sports, at least. I don't know about racing or anything like that, but let it happen. Let it be great. Like, we're talking about game one of 82. We're not saying that they're making Bronny play 35 minutes in the NBA finals. Like, he played 3 minutes in game one of 82 for a special moment. And you kind of touched on a little bit as well, Eddie. The people that are upset, do they understand so many things that have to happen at a high level for that moment to even be able to be contrived? You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, LeBron has to still be LeBron. Bronny has to be as good as he is. I know people don't, for whatever reason, don't think he's a good basketball player. Bronny can play. Bronny can hoop. Is he an NBA superstar? I'm not saying that, but is he a guy that's a fringe NBA / overseas? Yes, absolutely. He can hoop. And he's, what, is he still 19 or is he 20 now?
He's 20 now.
He's still a young kid. So there's so many things that had to happen for that to even be a possibility, that if they want to take 3 minutes out of game one in the first half of game one to let that moment happen, yeah, contrive the hell out of it. Please do.
Shout out Julius Randle, who immediately attacked him as soon as he got him on him. Immediately started backing him.
But I think, was talking crazy to him, man.
I think, in the perfect world, he makes the shot. I think it's, we get a little bit of reality in that he missed it. And hopefully he plays his way into a decent NBA career or beyond. Like, we truly don't know what he can and can't be. He only plays so many college games. Obviously, he had a health scare. I think it's
his
dope
heart stopped. Like it's not like, oh, they thought he tore his ACL. No, like, his heart stopped. They were concerned he was going to die.
Yeah. And I think it's, again, people bring up like Jerry Jones and things of that nature. And I know it's different that we don't see that on the court or on the field, but a lot of relationships get a lot of guys in the league, in NFL and MLB and all these leagues get a lot of guys spots in this league. That's business. It's business in a lot of places. I'm on this show right now because I know you guys and we're the homies. Like, you know what I mean? So I can't like turn my nose up at that too much. And it's not like it's wholly unearned. Like you said, Bronny is a decent player, a prospect. And again, there's another world where he spends a year at Dayton and he scores 18 points a game. And it's like, oh, we're drafting him seven and all this stuff. Mm-hmm. I get why the James family and Clutch and the Lakers and whomever else is involved would not want to leave that all to chance, especially the fact that LeBron is in year 22. I don't care if he thinks he can play until he's 45. Mm-hmm. Anything can happen on any given day, So I enjoyed it. I didn't think I would going in, but I thought it was cool. I mean, I have a son. Like, I laughed at the commercial going in, like,
the cereal one.
Your whole thing growing up is like, I gotta beat Pops, and imagine Pops as LeBron. Like, I'm never gonna beat Pops. Right. What is this? It's not fair. So, I kind of love that the James family is this public in general. You know what I mean? Because they're wholesome and love and hate LeBron all you want, but that part of it is cool. And it's his daughter's birthday, and Mom's is there, and all this stuff. So, I love seeing that.
I honestly think it's one of the dopest moments, if not the dopest moment of his career.
Yeah,
like, I would bet he'd say that too.
Oh, I'm sure he would. But like I mean, when he broke Kareem's record, like, that was dope. Winning for Cleveland was cool, but there was something about, because watching Bronny, there was a feeling of, there is a child on the floor. like there's a kid out there playing professional basketball, and I know that's a professional basketball player, mm-hmm. but. Because LeBron was right next to him, it was like, yeah, that is a child out there. That's that man's child. I got the one thing I think I've ever saved was that the little pin that they gave you when you walked in that night Sacramento played Cleveland, that first game. That's in my office somewhere. Mm-hmm. Like, I was at that game.
Yeah.
And did you know it was in Sacramento?
I did not know.
Yeah, like, I don't know if anyone knows.
Somebody's got to ask him that. When
somebody has to. And to think that man's got a grown-ass man in the league with him now is crazy.
Yeah, I'm rooting for Bronny. I feel like, in general, you know, unless you just hate LeBron, and I don't think there's any real reason to hate LeBron. I don't think there's any reason to hate any of these guys, but people hate LeBron. If you don't hate LeBron, I feel like you should be rooting for Bronny. It's a fun story. And it's tough sitting where he's sitting and the legacy you got to live up to. And that's as big a shadow as it gets. Mm-hmm. And he's going into the family business, quote unquote, and he's trying to forge his own lane. And I tip my hat to him because he could just be at the crib. You know, he could be at UCLA or USC where he went and just taking econ classes and doing whatever. But he's actually like chasing his dream and make something happen.
He's already better than Giannis's brother.
Well, shout out to the Nassas. Get healthy soon.
And less of a problem.
Get healthy soon, the Nassas. The other crazy thing about Bronny is he probably took a pay cut to live his NBA dreams. SC, he was getting paid.
But the Buss family better than me. I would have made Big Bron take a pay cut too. Like, we paying Buddy $2 million. Okay, we need four off this side. Like,
hey, look, Eddie. Our guy, because it seems like me, you, D-Lo, Jesse, we're the only ones that got love for this dude. Our guy, Jason Tatum, is he on a mission? Is he on a mission? These first two games, he was looking like, oh, I heard everything that was said over the summer.
Hey, man, I shot him a text because I've been laughing at him all summer. You've been missing jumpers all summer. What's up, dude? I said, the jumper's back. He's like, all right, chill, but I like that there's the narrative now that he could win an MVP. I talked to him about that a couple of years back where it's like, I don't think you can win MVP. Like, you already just averaged 30 on the best team, and that wasn't enough. There's no narrative for you. I think there is one now, like his kind of revenge tour narrative, and he's killing it. He looks great. That team is scary, man. That team is scary, and we can talk about the style of current NBA and all that we want. I saw Nick Wright had a really great rant about this, and I think he's on point. Like, there's a stylistic problem in the NBA that I think fans are kind of reckoning with, and I don't know that the league cares to fix, but the Celtics have maximized that better than anybody. They play true five-out basketball, and you just cannot guard that. You got to hope they miss a bunch of shots, and then if they do, they still got JT, they still got Jaylen Brown, and they can just go get buckets when need be. But going back to JT, man, he looks great. He looks great. He's only 26 years old. He's about to be 27. He's
crazy.
He's like, come on now. He's still going to get better. He's been playing high level NBA basketball since he came into the league. Mm-hmm. Conference finals his rookie year.
Yeah.
He's bumped into everybody. He's been mentored by everybody. The jumper looks smooth. It's scary what they can do. I think they're focused on team. I mean, even in talking to Jason, he's not focused on anything individual besides being better. Hearing the noise and just using that as motivation to be better, but it's scary what that team can do.
You think he could be the MVP?
I think my whole thing about MVP is that I always call it the narrative award.
Mm-hmm.
And they take turns with it. They give guys next up. Russ should have won one before he won one. Then he won one. James was one. We've seen this all throughout history. We've seen guys get MVPs that the other guys should have got. We've seen one vote cost one guy from being unanimous. All this stuff happens. I do think Shea and Luka are kind of there. They've just been itching to give them MVPs. And it's not to say they're not great players, obviously, but it's like this is an award voted on by the media. The media picks who's the most valuable player. But I do think Tatum has that respect level now, whereas, you know, a year ago, 2 years ago, he wasn't viewed in that upper echelon of a Jokic, of a Giannis, the guys who keep winning it. But I do think there is that, like, they're clearly the best team. He's clearly their best player. If he stacks up the stats, then it's hard to argue against that. Do I think he will? No. I mean, I think we might have seen the MVP last night. I hate MVP talk right now.
Yeah, silly.
But all things go right and all things go well. We might have seen that guy yesterday, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, like who just looks unguardable and ridiculous. And shout out to my guy Chet Holmgren, like he looked incredible too. Mm-hmm. I think those two are the next in line, Shai and Luka. But I think a great season, Jason Tatum put some pressure on him. We'll see.
I think, and this may sound like hate, but I ain't hating. It just is what it is. they want to give it to Luka so bad.
Oh,
all Luka has to do is finish top four.
But I don't even feel like he was in the conversation last year and he had a good season, no?
He wasn't because of team, right? Yeah. Because Jokic. And, like, I truly believe they're done giving it to Jokic. I said the same before and he won another one, so who knows. But there is voter fatigue, but then they fought against the voter fatigue by following against with that. And it's a whole thing. But I do think, look, Luka led the league in scoring last year. It took the team to the finals. Like, he's no slouch. Right. Trying to make it like he's
worthy. Like, it's not like he's
but
unworthy.
I do think he's next in line. I do think there's a lot of, like, self-seeking validation and saying, look, I told you guys about Luka in that draft and you guys wanted Trey and like stuff. Like, we watch the stories, we watch the guys get on TV and talk about this stuff. I do think he's next in line. I think Shea is right behind him. Guys love Shea and they should. But JT can bully his way in that conversation. I think he's already started to. And if it gets to the point where those guys, they went 67, 68 games and he's scoring 32, 33 points a night, it gets hard to say, well, he just doesn't deserve it. He's got a good team. Like, we're penalizing him because Drew Holiday, who two teams cast off in a week, is on his team. Like, that doesn't sound right. So, yeah. Derek White was a throw-in to a trade that they developed over there and made better. Like, that penalizes Jason Tatum. Why? I don't understand it.
Silly-ass Luka. Last year, looking at Vlade, you should have drafted me. Bro, shut up, fam. It's 20 years ago, bro. Nobody's even tripping.
I don't think it was 20 years.
Stop. Get the hell out of here. Get out of here. Get out of the goddamn Golden 1 Center. Goodbye.
But you want Vlade to have a standing O. But
Vlade does deserve a standing O for what he did as a player. Give him some respect.
Okay. All right. Here is the player. Vlade Divac. You can't say here's Vlade Divac. You have to say the player.
I say don't boo him. That's what I say more.
Okay, well, just sit on your hands.
That's all you got to do.
Just sit on your hands. Let the arena lights light up and keep it moving. You been to G1C? You've been gone for a while, yeah.
I've been multiple times.
Oh, okay.
I pulled up on him one time at the G1C.
I've been in there. I love that arena. Voted number one. I seen that.
Yeah, man.
Ron Artest made his grand return yesterday.
Yeah, he did. And Reggie Jackson was there, too. So
Zach King's legend. Come on.
Cedric the Entertainer
was there.
Ted was there. What's Ted doing there?
No one knows. Like,
seen Ted in the elevator.
Random celebrities.
What? So, look, I saw Ted in the elevator. I was like, oh, I didn't hear Damian wrong. He did say Ted the Entertainer. I thought I heard you wrong earlier. He told me that earlier in the day. I was like, oh, he really is here.
Kenny thought I was making it up. Like, what stupid ass thing can I tell Kenny? I know. Cedric the Entertainer is at the game.
I thought he was like, using that as a nickname for some player. And I meant to go, like, look at the roster and see, like, who you were talking. And then we did something else. And then I remembered when I saw him, kind of, I said, oh, that's what he meant when he said Seth the Entertainer. He's really here.
Premium seating for Seth, too. Like,
yeah, oh, yeah.
He didn't get that baseline joint. He got right in the middle. Like, he got. Yeah.
Nah, he got right. You amped up for your boy in the King tonight. They said it's the 41st matchup between LeBron and KD tonight.
I'm excited, man. I mean, big win for them the other night, obviously. Like, I would hate to watch Kevin have to defend the best player on the other team for 40 minutes again at 36 years old. You're 18, 19. Like, I would hate to watch that again. Let's win it in regulation. But I'm excited, man. You know, it's crazy. Since I met Kevin, they didn't play against each other for multiple years for various reasons. And it was literally since I met him. And it didn't play in the All-Star game. They knew nothing. They never played. So the time they finally played, it was in Phoenix. I couldn't make it. I still have not seen them together. I flew out to L.A. one time, missed it, the whole thing. It was a whole thing. So I'm going to catch them this year for sure. I got to catch them playing. But no, I'm always excited to see that. I mean, I think you see it on their faces too. They understand there's only so many of these left.
Yeah.
And they matter. You know, these dudes played in the finals, and Kevin was 21 years old. And I think amongst the brotherhood of the NBA players, right, they look around and they know who the guys are. And especially if you come from urban America or whatever you want to call it, you come from the block, you come from the hood. Those dudes were thrust into situations at 18, 19 years old and trusted to build cities up and build organizations up and did that. You know, Kevin, they took a team, uprooted it, took it to another city and said, okay, on your back, we're going to make this a billion-dollar franchise and did that. So, like, those dudes know what that life is, and it's only a few of them in the league, and so they're always have that bond on top of them just being the homies in general. So they're excited to play. I'm excited to watch them play. I hope the right team wins and the Lakers go home with the L.
Please.
Well, I ain't going to argue against that. Eddie, always great to talk to you, man. We appreciate you making time for us on these Fridays.
Of course, guy. Hey, man, don't wear that hat next time, man. You ain't learned?
Come on, man. It's 49er Friday, man. What you talking about, man? Every Friday is 49er Friday. And unless they go more than two games under 500, then they got to work their way back up. But, yeah, right now it's still 49er Friday, baby. Come on now.
All right, man. All right.
Appreciate you, bro.
All right, bro.
It's the man, Eddie Gonzalez, right there. We will come back. James Hamm joins us at the top of the hour. We'll talk more about the Sacramento Kings, their game last night, and the team we were just talking about with Eddie. Los Angeles Lakers, because that is who the Sacramento Kings play tomorrow. We've got that coming up here. Steelin' with KC, brought to you by Sky River Casino, where we will be November 11th, 32 Brule Street. Come through, hang out. The Insiders, for the first time ever, they're going to be doing their show live beginning at 10 a.m. And then, of course, Steelin' with KC live at 12 o'clock. You heard that right. November 11th, Veterans Day. Mm-hmm. We will be live. If you've got the day off, come hang out with Steelin' with KC.
Pull up.
November 11th, 32 Brule Street, inside Sky River Casino. We'll come back with more here on ESPN 1320.
Exah. D-Lo and KC on this Friday afternoon in Sacramento, California. You know, the Kings, they took a loss last night, but basketball's back. It was good to be at the Golden 1 Center last night. It was good to have basketball back in downtown Sacramento. And, I really enjoyed that. I'm excited for the season. I think it's going to be a really fun season here in Sacramento. So it was good to see everybody last night. We talked about this before, but it had first day of school vibes. It definitely had first day of school vibes. Seeing people, seeing some of the workers down there, you know what I mean? Seeing all those guys out there. And I hadn't seen them since I left the Golden 1 Center in April. So, you know, it was good vibes out there last night, man. Always a good time at the G1C.
We'll obviously talk a lot more about the Sacramento Kings when James joins us coming up here in just a couple of minutes. There was a football game last night. Rams beat the Vikings 30-20. Matt Stafford threw four touchdowns and one interception. Puka, notoriously
back.
Is trash here. He had 106 yards on seven catches. Cooper Kupp returned with 51. I only point that out because we've got a matchup between the Dallas Cowboys and the San Francisco 49ers. This weekend, we haven't given that conversation a ton of run here, obviously, because we've been talking about the Kings, been talking about basketball with Eddie. But the NFC West is pretty tight.
Yeah, man.
And there's a million reasons why this game is big for the San Francisco 49ers. But the NFC West feels like one of the reasons.
Are we changing our minds at all about the 49ers if they lose this matchup? I feel like if they win, it's kind of like, all right, going into the bye, like, you're good, pick yourselves up. But do we feel any certain way if they lose?
What is my mind?
Where maybe they might not make the playoffs this year, because I'm still not there.
That.
But
I don't think that if they lose this weekend, I don't think I'm going to hit that. It'd be a few more losses before I think this team's not making the playoffs.
Yeah, I no, and it's purely because of the division. You know, what I mean, once again, if they were in the NFC North. And they went to 3-5, I wouldn't feel this way.
Yeah.
But they're in the NFC West where, like I said, even if they lose this game, and I understand what Kyle was saying earlier, the grand scheme of, like, if they lose this game, like, how could you believe in them to win other games or whatever? I get that, but I'm just looking at the numbers of it all.
Mm-hmm.
You lose this game, you go to 3-5, you get to your bye, say the Seahawks beat the Bills. You're still just two games back of the division, already beating the division leader and having another game against them at home. It's still there for you. So I understand the thought process behind they're just not good and whatever turnaround won't happen. Like, I get it, but I'm still looking at it as they're right there in the division, even if you lose. So. But you don't want to have that happen. You don't want to take that chance, especially against a team like the Cowboys, who are struggling, who don't seem to have a lot of talent.
They're struggling. They're not good.
Yeah, they don't seem to have a lot of talent, and you got them at home, and you're in a desperate situation. You want to win this game. Come on, man. It would not feel good going into the bye with a loss to the Cowboys at home. Not feel good at all.
That's a Sunday night football game, so we'll get a standalone, which will be nice. Chiefs and the Raiders, the 6-0 Chiefs play the 2-5 Raiders. It looks like Tua's back. Tua's back for the Dolphins. Jaden is, I think he's still questionable.
I think he's going to be out.
He's ruled out?
They had three quarterbacks out there at practice, and he was not one of them.
Now, I saw he wasn't at practice. I didn't know that they had officially ruled him out. That's the 4-2 Bears versus the 5-2 Commanders. And then you mentioned that Seahawks-Bills game. That's the 5-2 Bills versus the 4-3 Seahawks. So there's a couple of decent matchups here. You got the Falcons and the Bucks there in the South. That'll be a fun one. And I think that's really about it. Colts and Texans is interesting. Mm-hmm. I don't buy the Colts.
You mentioned that earlier. Yeah,
I don't buy the Colts. I'm with you. But I do think that is an interesting matchup. But, of course, we'll have our eyes on the Sunday night football game with the Cowboys and the 49ers. I don't know, man. I don't know what to think of the 49ers. They're not a bad football team. I've watched Dallas. I've watched San Francisco. Those two teams are not the same.
No.
You could say that they're both struggling. You could say whatever. Dallas isn't good. Mm-hmm. The San Francisco, and that's what the 49ers are struggling. Mm. The Cowboys aren't good. Mm. Those are two different things.
Yeah, I look at the 49ers, and I look at a team that's not executing. You know, and a lot of the numbers bear that out. And when I talk about executing when you like really need to in the red zone, you know, in the clutch and all this other stuff, they blew two 10-point leads in the fourth quarter. To blow a 10-point lead in the fourth quarter, you got to be up by 10. You know what I mean? Like you're not getting dogged out 42-7 or whatever it was in that situation. They have to be able to execute and do the little things better. And if they can do that, I think it turns into wins. Now, you can say they just not ever going to do the little things better. Like, that could happen. Sometimes it's not as simple as, hey, just execute better and then you'll be a better team. Sometimes you're incapable of executing better for a season or something like that. That may be the 2024 49ers. But right now, that's what I'm seeing. I'm seeing that they just – if they can execute better in those certain situations around the red zone, taking care of the ball, maybe getting some touchdowns as opposed to field goals, you can switch up the way the season is going. The killer for them, though, as well, is the injuries may start to mount up. Like they're at their brink of injured top flight players.
Yeah.
They can't lose no more. I think right now you can lose some and you can still maybe kind of make it work and duct tape your way, you know, to after the bye. But if another starter goes down for an extended period of time on Sunday or beyond, it may be too much. Maybe too much.
Man, they have just been decimated. I mean, Ufunga's probably played his last game for the San Francisco 49ers. And
that's a weird situation, too, because the 49ers are getting out there that they don't expect to see him again this year. And the agent is like, no, we're still going to try and play. So I don't.
49ers like, oh, we're good. It's cool.
That's bizarre. Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe they're trying to. I don't know. I can't even pretend to understand what happens in the NFL. Mm. No clue. I'm still trying to figure out if Christian McCaffrey's playing football this year. We go from, he's around practice. I think Nick Wagner tweeted, he's been around his locker. Well, he wasn't there before. Like, what does that mean? Like, what does being around his locker mean? Like, can the man run or not?
Right. Yeah, I'm not. There's been talks about trying to get him out there after the bye.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe him when I see it. Right now, I don't think he's playing
this year, dude.
Ian Rappaport, he came out today. He tweeted he has a very good chance of playing after the week 10. Mm-hmm. Or playing in week 10, excuse me.
So we're going into week 8 here, so their week 9 bye, week 10 is the game. Okay.
His injury is so weird, too, just because he's missed 8-9 months of football, and he didn't tear anything.
Yeah.
And it's just like,
yep.
Now you come back, like he's good now?
Well, the thing about it, though, and Damon, you know this, you know too, Jesse, I learned this, is the terminology is different. But he did tear something. If he's got a calf strain, he tore the muscle in his calf. And sometimes without surgery, you just, sometimes they heal different. Sometimes they can get aggravated easier than other injuries. And it's from person to person.
Well,
so,
you are notorious for taking things frustratingly, literally, like when I was saying basketball was returning on Thursday. You know, Kings basketball. We got to point that out. I think what Jesse's saying is ripped to the point of repair.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I think that is, like, there wasn't something that he had to have.
Well, he's been dealing with his Achilles tendonitis, too, right?
Yeah.
That's kept him. I mean that, too.
Yeah. I mean, he's been out, what'd you say, 9 months and hasn't had February, to have basically a surgical repair.
Right. But,
which is okay. Kind of bizarre.
Yeah. It is. It is.
You're approaching ACL time with that.
Yeah. That's, who really knows what's going on with him? I don't even know if he really knows what's going on with him.
Well, anytime so-and-so had to fly out of the country for a procedure, yeah, man, it's a little concerning. Mm-hmm. The FDA doesn't clear this procedure over here. We're going to go over to Germany and do it.
Right.
Shoot, if it works, man, get it done.
I'm not but expecting much of anything.
It feels like a constant state. This is where Jesse asked about opinion changing. This is where, I won't say my opinion changes, this is where concerns really hit a different level, is when you're, it's not like, hey, George Kittle can play against the Cowboys. Okay, cool. Debo can play against the Cowboys. Great. It's not like they're better. They're good enough to play.
Mm-hmm.
Those are not the same thing. And they're going to go get roughed up by the Dallas Cowboys, or they're going to go get roughed up playing football against the Dallas Cowboys. And then come Monday morning, they're going to feel like crap again, and you're going to start the process all over. And, you know, Debo's situation is a little weird, but you're constantly playing. Like, when you're in football, when you get hurt, and I think the same is true for basketball, really. When you get hurt during the season, you're playing from behind the rest of the season. Like, you're playing with that injury or that ailment or whatever it is. Like, you're playing with that the entire season. It's just measured, like, what? How bad is it? How difficult is it? How much does it cause you to miss a game in 2 weeks? Does it cause it to miss you a game every 3 weeks? Like, it's a constant. You're constantly trying to catch up. And the only way you can catch up is by stop playing football. And none of these guys want to do that.
All right.
They want to help their teams as much as they can.
Yeah, I mean, with Debo, I don't know. Maybe it's a sickness, you know, that illness, I should say. So maybe he'll feel a little better. But I look at Kittle, and I mean, he's not going to feel 100% this year. You know, he's going to find a way to be able to, if he can play.
But Debo was already hurt this year in addition to the illness, no?
He had, what was it? Was it?
Did he get hurt at the end of?
He got hurt in the Minnesota game and didn't play against the Rams.
Oh, okay.
I forgot.
I thought he got hurt. Okay.
He got hurt in the Seattle game. I don't know what that was. It was something with his wrist or hand or something like that. But he came back out in that game. So, I don't know. Sometimes I don't know what happened to Debo. Debo just be hurt. He'd be looking all bad, and then he's back out there. So,
Juwan Jennings has already been ruled out. He won't be out he won't be out there on Sunday. So, yeah, it's a tough go for Brock Purdy, Kyle Shanahan, and the San Francisco 49ers. They're going to have to find a way to beat a Dallas team that, one, is short on talent, but some of their talent is hurt also. So, I got to get it done at home. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he's officially out. So, yeah, I mean, both teams, I think you're going to get, we can talk about how bad the Cowboys are or anything like that, but I think you're getting the best version of the Cowboys on Sunday night. They've had a week to heal up as much as they could. They've been getting smacked around in their media and in national media for the past 2 weeks, so they're going to be ready to play. And you know the game plan. You know they're going to be having their top game plan because they're coming off a bye. So whatever that looks like, I don't know what that looks like, but you're going to get the best version of the Dallas Cowboys on Sunday if you're the 49ers.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.